Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The Lord be with you. Proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. This again, chapter 10. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road. And on hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many people were scolding him, trying to make him keep quiet. But he shouted all the louder, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him over." So they called the blind man over, telling him as they did, "You have nothing whatsoever to fear from him. Get up, he's calling you." And so he threw aside his cloak, he jumped up, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "My teacher, I want to see." And Jesus said in reply, "Be on your way, your faith has saved you." And immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and started to follow Jesus on the road. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, you all get to sit down. I told you I was going to be doing all the work, and it's nice that you get to sit and kind of relax. But, you know, preaching can be kind of, it takes a lot of energy. And I think I'm just going to kind of sit here too, if you don't mind. Kind of relax a little bit. Sit here by the side of the road. Do you ever see what's on the side of the road? Take a look sometime. Oh, you'll see all kinds of things, such as crumpled up tin cans and paper napkins and cigarette butts, dog droppings, people. Yeah, people are on the side of the road. Oh, all kinds of people, such as illegal aliens, people with AIDS, disabled people, disabled vets. In fact, where I live in Houston, right by I-10, every time we go to our toward our road, toward where we live, we look and there's right underneath that bridge is this disabled vet with a sign in a tin can saying, "God bless you, please help me, I'm a disabled vet." You see, people live on the side of the road. And Bartimaeus was one of those such people. He was sitting there day after day begging. Can you imagine a life like that? Here he was just sitting there by the side of the road. How embarrassing that must have been. How hard that must have been for him. And day after day, morning after morning, night after night, he would sit there. "Alms. Alms for the blind man. I need to eat." Can you imagine how devastating that must have been to his psyche and to his self-image? Well, I'll tell you, for all intents and purposes, just to let you know, Bartimaeus was stuck. I talked to you this weekend about being stuck. Many people are stuck in their issues, such as anger, impatience, envy. Other people are stuck in sin, such as lust and laziness and pride. Other people are stuck with their attitude of negativity and that whole attitude of not feeling good about yourself or being cynical and judgmental. Other people are stuck in their relationship with God, and they don't feel like they're moving. That's kind of where Bartimaeus was. He was just sitting there, stuck by the side of the road. He was kind of stuck in the muck. He wasn't moving, wasn't going anywhere. He was just sitting there. It was kind of a passive life, if you will. And I remember a dance choreographer once said, dance choreographer. They're into doing all that type of thing. She once said that, you know, life is about moving, and when people stop moving, they die. And I want to tell you that your life is about progressing and going forward and changing and maturing and moving. And when you stop moving, you die. See, the kingdom is progressive. It's all about going forward and about changing. And God told me a long time ago, Cedric, I'm not interested in perfection. I'm interested in progression. You know, he wants us moving forward. And then I remember Helen Keller once said, Helen Keller, remember the blind person? She was blind. She once said, life is a daring adventure or nothing at all. That's why I tell people, folks, live with passion. Live a daring life. Have energy in your marriages. Have exuberance. Don't always wait for your partner to serve you. Serve them. You know, give more than you get. Be generous. Be exuberant. Live with passion. Live your life well because it's such a gift. You know, embrace it. Live with passion. Don't be passive. Be passionate. Well, many people, I don't know, they just kind of sit there in life. They're content being a spectator. Bartimaeus wasn't even a spectator, and he certainly wasn't a participator. He was blind, and he was stuck, and he wasn't moving. He was just sitting there day after day after day, as I said, begging. You know what? We may not be blind, but we're kind of the same way. Check this out. We beg life. We say, life, fill my cup. Life, make my cup overflow. And we're searching. We're looking. We want it to be full. And we literally beg life. We try different things to see if it works to make us happy or to somehow bring us movement in our life. That is, unless we give up the search. And many people give up. They quit looking. Some of you that are watching by TV, you just happen to flip into this program and you've kind of given up, but you haven't given up because you want to know more, and that's why you stopped. And I want to tell you that Jesus can fill your cup. And as the Bible says, God can make your cup overflow with happiness and change and movement and everything that you've been searching for. So, don't give up. Don't live passively. Live passionately. Throw yourself into your life. Live with daring. Jesus said, launch out into the deep for a catch. And that's what I love about Jesus. He challenges all of us to live beyond the ordinary. Well, one day, here's Bartimaeus stuck, you know, just begging every day, just sitting there by the side of the road, for all intents and purposes, dead, lukewarm, not really even moving. Then one day he heard, and by the way, blind people can hear very well. Their sense of hearing becomes very acute. He heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He heard it from the crowd. And now, I don't know if he ever met Jesus of Nazareth or heard him speak in person, but obviously he knew about him. He had heard about him, about this teacher from Galilee who could preach, who could heal people, who had compassion, who had mercy, because it says that when he heard that Jesus was passing by, all of a sudden, he shouted out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's a cry from deep within of faith. It's a yell of yearning. I like to call it, it's a salvation shout. You see, now, Bartimaeus might have been blind, but at least he knew it. A lot of people today, you know, they're blind inside. You know, that's the primary place. By the way, when the scriptures talk about blindness, yeah, they mean physical blindness, but it's always a symbol for, a metaphor for spiritual blindness, and especially your ability to look within and your relationship with God. So he may have been blind, but at least he knew it. And the problem with some of us can be we can be blind toward our issues, toward God, and we won't admit it. We put up defense mechanisms and denial systems and walls that we put up there, and it separates us from ourselves and from God. And we won't admit it. Do you know what the first step in change is? If you're at all familiar with the 12-step program, you know what it is. The 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, all those anonymous programs. First step is this. You have to admit that there's a problem going on. Either you're drinking or drugging or gambling or sexing or whatever it is. And most people do it and they won't admit it to themselves. Well, not me. Everybody else is addicted, but not me. And it's the same way with anger. Everybody else knows you're angry except you, because you won't admit it, or impatient, or frustrated, or envious. That's why I said on Sunday, you know, if you don't know what your issues are, ask your spouse. They'll tell you. So at least Bartimaeus knew it, that he was blind. And the other thing is, you know, the first step is you admit it. The second step is you realize that you're powerless to change. And the third step is you surrender. You take responsibility, you make a decision, and you come just as you are. So Bartimaeus may have been blind, but at least he knew it. And I'm praying tonight that you will know what your issues are. You will admit it, because that's the first step in change. And I know many of you have talked to me, I want to change, Father Cedric. Last night, my program on, it was about change, and I talked about confronting your issues. And I hope that you'll admit it, because listen real close. In case you haven't noticed, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by here tonight. Oh, did you notice the crowd? The crowd in the story? Very interesting. After he shouts out, have mercy on me, many people were scolding him, trying to make him keep quiet. Don't we all have people like that in our life? And I mean, I did growing up, you do, we all do. You know, it's people, could be family, could be friends, could be somebody that you don't even know, it could be our culture, that they say things like, what are you doing going out to church on a Tuesday night when you can be at home watching American Idol? Or you could be at home watching the basketball game, even though it's not the Spurs. And you were there last night, now you're here again tonight, and you're changing. What's going on with you? Or, you know, it's people that, you know, you're watching a religious program on TV, and you know, it's people in your house that are saying, what are you watching anyway? Who is that guy up there and sitting there on the stool acting like an idiot? What are you watching? Is that religious program again? You know, we all have people like that get this, please, that don't understand who God is, what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ means, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So because they don't understand, they mock it, or they laugh at it, or they try to belittle it. That's exactly what's going on here. They were scolding him, trying to make him keep quiet. Our culture does that, tries to take prayer out of the schools, tries to take the Ten Commandments out of public places. They scold us, our faith, and try to make us keep quiet. But I love Bartimaeus. See, I guess when you've been stuck long enough and you haven't been changing and you're fed up and you're sick and tired with being sick and tired and you've had enough, finally, you don't care who or what is trying to stop you. And I pray tonight that you won't let anyone or anybody stop you from making a move with Jesus tonight, because as I said, he's passing by. Because I love what Bartimaeus did. They tried to scold him and shut him up. And it says that he cried out all the louder, hold on to your ears, Jesus! Have mercy on me. Wow. I love that. You see, he wasn't embarrassed anymore. He wasn't embarrassed. Some people are so embarrassed about Jesus. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in this wicked and adulterous generation, then I will be ashamed of you when you stand before my Father in heaven and all of his angels. Don't be ashamed. He's there for you. You know, you cry out. And notice what he cried for, mercy. See, that's what we're about here tonight. He said, have mercy on me. You know what mercy is? Undeserved kindness. We don't deserve this mercy. It's a free gift that's given. It's the kindness of God. Way back in the Old Testament, when God appeared to Moses, he announced his name. He said, I am God. I am a God gracious, merciful, and slow to anger. That's who God identified himself as being, gracious, merciful, and slow to anger. In the absolution, we say, may the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son Jesus, forgive your sins. He's the Father of mercy. That's the God that we serve. A lot of people are afraid of God. He's going to punish me. He's mad at me. I like to say he's not mad at you, he's mad about you. He's the Father of mercies. And it's interesting, if you know anything about Catholicism, way back in the 5th century AD, the desert fathers started going off into the desert to pray contemplatively, silently, away from everybody, and they based their prayer, it's called the Jesus Prayer, on this very statement of Bartimaeus. And this is what they meditated on. Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. And they would echo that in their heart over and over again. You see, there's mercy in Christ. There's mercy in Jesus. And there's mercy for you. And that's what we're all about. No matter what you've done, as I said last night, no matter what the sin is, no matter what your issues are, there's no reason to stay stuck. You can move through the mercy of God. But first, you've got to admit it. You've got to admit that you're powerless and you need help, the mercy of God. And then you have to take responsibility and make a move. So he cried out all the louder. And I love that. Just to let you know, about 14 years ago, I went to the seminary. And it was an interesting seminary in Chicago. We had all kinds of people. We had women that went to the seminary, lay leaders. I was talking about that yesterday morning. And many priestly candidates and all kinds of different people. It's called Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. I learned so much in that seminary, all kinds of different disciplines. Studied the Bible. I got to study the Bible in Israel. I've been on that road to Jericho. You know, it leads up to Jerusalem. That's where Jesus was going. And let me see, there was scripture studies, there was liturgy studies, there was preaching, there was theology, there was history, there was ethics. There were so many different courses and disciplines that I took. It was wonderful. They form you, they round you out at the seminary. It was awesome, up in Chicago. Well, one of the courses that I took was this. It's called Christology. It was the study of who Jesus is. That's the term Christology. Who was he? You know, the greatest minds for the last 2,000 years have tried to figure this out. Was he a man, a myth, human, divine, a phony, a prophet, son of God, son of man? Who was he? Some of the greatest minds have tried to figure this out. Philosophers, theologians such as Augustine, Bonaventure, Aquinas, you know, all these great philosophers down through the ages. They've all tried to grapple with who is Jesus. And books have been written about Christ. In fact, I know I've had to read a lot of them in the seminary, books upon books. In fact, one scholar said one time that more books have been written about the life of Christ than any other person in the history of humanity, and rightly so. And there's been many books written by Fulton Sheen, by Philip Yancey, by Pope Benedict just wrote a book on Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, part one and part two. I've read it. Very scholarly, very scriptural, a little difficult to read. It'll give you a sense of Jesus. And I have written my own book on Jesus, as I was sharing with you, Come Encounter Jesus, where I talk about who Jesus is. Well, books have been written, all trying to grasp, trying to get a handle, trying to get a hold on who Jesus is. Not only have people tried to figure it out, books have been written, how about movies? Movies have been made about the life of Christ. For example, you've probably seen many of them. I have too. The Greatest Story Ever Told, that came out years ago. A movie that helped change my life was Franco Zeffirelli's Jesus of Nazareth. Some years ago, there was a movie out by Mel Gibson, The Passion of Jesus the Christ. That was a very powerful movie. Then years ago, about 19 years ago, there was a movie out by Scorsese that was called The Last Temptation of Christ. And everybody was picketing the theaters because you know what he did? He portrayed Jesus on the cross, a very human Jesus who, even on the cross, was being tempted by Mary Magdalene. And a lot of people couldn't handle that. Now, I'm not saying that I liked the movie because I didn't even see the movie, because I didn't like that concept, but I'm just simply saying that movies have been made to try to grasp who Jesus is. Movies, books, poets, songs, people, prophets, two words. In two words, the Gospel of Mark tells us who Jesus is. When Bartimaeus called out to him the second time, the Bible says, Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. Is that the Lord that you know? You have to understand, he was with all kinds of important people. He had the throngs. Everybody loved him. He was real charismatic. Here's this nothing sitting by the side of the road, whom everybody's telling to shut up and get out of the way. And the King of Kings stopped. That speaks to me volumes about who Jesus Christ is and how much he cares for you and for me. He stopped. And picture the scene. You know, here's this big crowd. You know, they're all following Jesus shoulder to shoulder. Everybody's going down the road. Here's this blind beggar shouting and everything. Jesus stops. And I mean, you ever seen an accordion that's kind of scrunched together? That's how, like dominoes, all the people just kind of go scrunched. And then all of a sudden there was a silence, kind of like in here. With all these people in here, there was a silence. And then Jesus spoke. And he said, out of the silence, just like God, out of the silence of creation, he spoke, and there was creation. See, God's word is powerful. When God speaks, things happen. When God gives mercy, people are changed. And what did Jesus say? You know, he stopped, everybody's quiet, and Jesus said, call him over. Oh, there's a powerful word. Call him over. See, this is a call story. In other words, you know, Jesus was used to calling people. He called Matthew, a great sinner, at the tax collection booth. He called him, come follow me. Peter, Andrew, James, John, fishermen, he called them, come follow me. Now he's doing the same thing to a blind beggar. He's saying, call him over. And what I'd like to say is that, you know what? You have to listen for the call of Jesus in your life. I believe he calls every person on the face of the earth, first of all, to get to know him in a personal way, and then to proclaim him to other people. You watching by TV, you are being called right now to Christ. He is calling you over. Now, you might be thinking, well, how do you hear his voice? Is it this like loud voice that calls you? Well, not usually. A call to a vocation, for example, it can be in your heart, but most of the time, God will work and call you through books, through TV programs, good TV programs, good homilies, good preaching. He'll call you through music. He'll call you through creation. And he will call you if you can listen. Remember what I said about blind people? They have acute hearing. If you can listen, he will call you through other people. And that's exactly what we have here. Jesus said, call him over. And he told that to the people that were crowding around him. So the Bible says that when Jesus said that to them, they called the blind man over, telling him as they did, you have nothing whatsoever to fear from him. He's calling you. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Time out. Aren't these the same people who a minute ago were saying, shut up? Now they're saying, get up. Isn't that just like crowds? You know, they're so fickle. It's just like, today, you know, the wind was blowing out there, you know, and the flag's going this direction. Crowds are like that. Whichever way the wind blows, that's the way crowd goes. And, you know, they go after reincarnation, you know, they go after the New Age movement. A lot of young people are going after Satanism, you know, all of that, because it sounds good and it seems to work and it's going to fill my cup. Maybe it'll make me happy. It seems easy. And, you know, crowds are like that. For example, you know, San Antonio Spurs were doing real well until they lost the first two games. And you watch, that's when all the boo birds start coming out. All of a sudden, you know, you love them, and then they start losing. You don't love them anymore. Because I've been to ball games, and I know what that's like. And that's the way crowds are. The same crowd that shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday shouted Crucify Him on Good Friday. Same people. And that's the way crowds are. So, but yet God can use people to call you. And I want you to see that. God can even, you know, in the Old Testament, God even used a donkey to call the prophet Balaam. And I always tell people, if God can use an ass to call a prophet, he can use your husband and wife or your boss to call you. So you never know. So they said to him, get up, he's calling you. Now, please get this. Here's the scene. Everybody stopped. Here's Bartimaeus. By the way, he had his cloak on, his mantle, the Bible said. You know, he's wearing that. And he's sitting there begging, and you know, with his kind of like that, and now he's got the call. Jesus has stopped. He's calling you, get up. Now, he had a decision to make, and so do you. You have to understand that change occurs by the grace of God and by your choice. That's what I wrote that book about, You Can Change. There's two things involved, the grace of God and your choice. Your decision and an act of your will is very, very important. If you only have one, it's not going to work. If you only have the other, it's not going to work. Your choice alone isn't going to work. And God's grace alone isn't going to work. You've got to have both together. Now, Bartimaeus was confronted with a choice. He's calling me. I've yelled to him. I'm sick and tired. Now, pay attention. Watch this, because something's about to happen. This is what Bartimaeus did. He made a decision, and he made a choice. He came to Jesus. You know, people everywhere are asking me, how do you change? What's conversion? You know, how do I change? Well, I don't know. I hope I told you to watch. I hope you didn't miss that. If you did, you can watch it later on TV. But this is exactly what happens here. In case you did miss it, I'm going to review it in slow-mo just to make sure. We'll put these cameras on slow-mo, if you will. See, Bartimaeus had an eruption of trust. He had a resurrection of faith. Bartimaeus literally just rose from the dead because instead of just sitting there stuck, he made a move. And that's so important in your life. You've got to understand that. I don't mean that you literally jump up from your chair, but I mean in some way, shape, or form, whatever issues, wherever you're stuck, please review your mind and your conscience. Wherever you are stuck, you have to face that issue. You have to look it square in the face, and by the grace of God, admit your powerlessness and then make a surrender, and that's the way you change.
Please listen next time for the conclusion of Father Cedric's inspiring message. We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.